I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. President Obama and all the candidates vying to succeed him seem to agree on one thing: the U.S. and its allies must somehow defeat ISIS extremists. Now, the way that's being done at the moment relies heavily on airstrikes. Some estimates suggest that the Pentagon has already dropped nearly 40,000 bombs on ISIS targets in Iraq and Syria. Last December, Air Force Chief of Staff General Mark Welsh said, "We're expending munitions faster than we can replenish them." We wanted to find out if that's still the case, so we turned to someone who keeps track of the companies that make the bombs. Roman Schweitzer is a defense analyst at Guggenheim Securities in Washington. Tell us what you actually do, Roman Schweitzer, and what is your firm's association with the defense industry?
Sure. Thanks, Marco. I'm a defense analyst, cover these companies, the large defense primes, and how their programs are doing in Washington and how their companies perform in the equity markets. Guggenheim Securities actually has no direct relationship with any of these companies.
So you're pretty well positioned to tell us, is the U.S. running out of bombs?
It's really a function of supply and demand. The Pentagon tries to balance its inventories based on what it plans to be using in the future. And I think over the last 2 years, we've seen that those projections have been a bit off as it's ramped up the campaign against ISIS, not only in Iraq and Syria, but in Libya as well.
So you're saying that the campaign against ISIS has severely depleted the U.S. stock of bombs?
There are also NATO and Gulf Cooperation Council allies participating in these strikes as well. And in some cases, they're drawing off of U.S. stockpiles because their own domestic inventories may not be sufficient.
So let's dig down into some of the costs here of these bombs. I mean, these bombs are pretty sophisticated. Tell us about just one of them that's used a lot, how it's made, and how much it costs.
You know, it's actually kind of interesting because in the early days of the campaign or really the first night into Syria, the Navy fired a bunch of Tomahawk cruise missiles. And those are in the $1 million range. But they're really sort of the higher end of what you might use if you have a contested airspace and you don't want to put aircraft over targets. But really, then you get down to the lower category, something like a Hellfire missile that's fired off of one of the Predator or Reaper UAVs, and those are in the tens of thousands of dollars, exactly. And really, you know, over the skies in Iraq and Syria, pilots are able to get close because you're not fighting a very sophisticated, albeit a brutal, enemy. And you're able to use shorter range but more precision-guided munitions. And part of that's twofold. One, you want to be precise on who you're hitting. And two, you don't want to hit other people because these are, you know, obviously some congested environments and the enemy adapts and puts himself in positions where he's hard to target without collateral damage.
And we hear that there is actually a lot of collateral damage.
I think that's one of the things that the Pentagon has spent a lot of time and attention in terms of identifying those targets in order to minimize civilian damage. But it is an unfortunate consequence that I think even under the best circumstance, some of these things can go awry.
How long does it take to build a Hellfire missile?
Well, the actual construction of the missile itself can be, you know, very quick, but it really depends on how you ramp your production line and how many workers and shifts you have. You know, in some cases, the Air Force has said it would take perhaps up to 4 years to rebuild the total inventory, but that's not the actual manufacturing of an individual unit or munition.
How busy is the order department at the Pentagon right now with some of these companies like, you know, Lockheed Martin and General Dynamics?
Lockheed Martin has said they've been asked to increase their Hellfire missile production facilities, as well Boeing, which makes the Joint Direct Attack Munition called the JDAM. They are also ramping up production. There are, you know, a few categories of munitions that are sort of preferred, and I think they are definitely busy.
So the U.S. Military uses these weapons, but the United States also sells them to other countries. Can you talk about that a bit?
Sure. I mean, these are long-standing relationships where a lot of these countries have established supply relationships and contracts, and they want to be able to be interoperable with the U.S. and use those preferred munitions. And really, that's, you know, Gulf states such as Saudi Arabia, as well as European allies such as the United Kingdom.
And what's your sense of what happens when Saudi Arabia, which is, say, bombing Yemen right now as part of a coalition, when they drop American munitions on targets and people see those weapons and they see that they're made in the U.S., what kind of effect does that have on kind of attitudes towards this country?
I would imagine it's not positive. And I think that's perhaps one of the unintended consequences of the current style of warfare, even for that matter, that the U.S. conducts in terms of drone strikes, you know, around the world. However, that is the push-pull between policy and action and inaction.
Roman Schweitzer, an aerospace and defense policy analyst for Guggenheim Securities in Washington. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.